Everything that happened last week, those who helped out as far as getting him up and speaking, I thank Debbie for taking being instant in season and out, because it was quite a deal. And so we just praise God for that as well. But we took and I had it all lined up and ready to go. And that night, my knee, I don't know why, just would not stop hurting. It just ached all night, kept me up all night, and I just, for one thing, I didn't know if I'd be able to make it into the car or even get in the building here or do anything else with it, so I just figured I better not go in the very last minute. It's very hard to make a decision on when you're supposed to be there to teach on whether you're going to be there or not. And I usually try to make it no matter what, but this time there's no way I could do it, so. I thank you for each and every what that spoke and for what Debbie did and talked about, and we praise God. He helped some people and understand some things that are going on. We just give you full glory, honor, and praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting. Some lights went out. Yeah, I know, because of those over the screen up there. So anyway, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. I missed being here last week, but at the same time, God did provide and make things happen. And I've been really seeking and asking the Father on things that He wants to do and how He wants to do them and where He wants to do them and all this other thing as I'm trying to get myself back in order. I'm still saying, wow, I can't believe that it happened to where 2 weeks put me out that many weeks. And months, actually. Unbelievable. I'm still not there yet. I'm getting closer. Getting closer. Praise the Lord. It's going to happen. I'm not going to worry about that. And the Lord has even showed us me that on that many times. So praise the Lord. It will come to pass. Yep, don't give up is right. What do you think of our storms that we've been having lately? Not quite like Texas, praise God on that one. We don't want that. Texas has really been bad. But they've been pretty wild. They're waking you up and keeping you going. And I don't know, it just seems like there's a lot more electrical stuff going on than it used to be, too. It's affecting you. I don't know about you, but it's affecting me a little bit more. And I'm thinking, wow, that's quite something what's happening. But keep binding up the spirits, keep allowing God to move and see what's going to happen, because this too shall come to pass, and we just give God the glory. Glad everybody's safe, and sorry about all the water. We've done that before, but we lucked out. We got the road behind, they put a cofferdam in. Well, that's true, too. That's it. So we're very blessed on that one. So that's a praise of the Lord. But still, it's an effort when you got to fight that all the time. We know that for sure. It's been a long haul. Yeah, we had a lot of people helping us during that time period. We've been in trouble. So, but ever since I was down in the hospital, I've been doing a bunch of seeking. I knew when I went on the trip that I know the Lord was going to talk to me every night about something. He says, by the time you get through, you'll see a kind of a what's happening, what's going on. He didn't want to give me everything at one time because I'd get choked on it. So I said, okay, so I've been going this way and working on what He's been wanting to do. And when I end up in the hospital, and I'm thinking, why am I in the hospital? And I sat there and I listened at night. I'd put my headsets on and just listen to different programs and hear different things. One of the things I did run across, it was a book that I have, and I've handed them out. If you don't have one, I think we got some small books left. It's called Right and Wrong Thinking. Right and Wrong Thinking. And I'm not going to go through it, but it's very powerful. Believe it or not, it's probably one of your first major issues that you need to deal with to really receive what you're supposed to have for God. As I got through looking at everything that the Lord's been setting up here, these are strong areas of developing people. This whole thing is about developing people. issues in people's lives that you need to deal with. They need to deal with. You need to point it out so they can deal with them. Maybe there are areas in your life you need to get pointed out. And basically, I'm not going to go through that book, but I've talked about it somewhat, and we had it there, and we've had, you know, we've given it out. But in Proverbs 23, 6 through 7, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he has thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now, we had a discussion here a while back with somebody saying that you have to go and look at the scriptures before and the scriptures after. You don't want to take a scripture out and just make it, you know, the way it is, and just, you know, because it's out of context. Well, I've seen this one, and I've known about it. We've quoted it before. In 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's what the book's all about. So I said, that's a good scripture to have. But then that thinking came back on, and the rationality that you got to go way above and find out how it is and all the way back down. Well, in Proverbs, there's only a couple of, you know, areas that you can go, that because it flips so much different ways. So I went back there, and I was looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, well, what is this talking about, eat and drinking? Did you have the New Living Testament on that one? Pat, can you get that one? Okay, would you have, we want to read that, Deb?
Don't eat with people who are stingy.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
That's a big one. Don't desire their delicacies. Next. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Oh, mercy. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. Next. You will throw up what little you've eaten, and your compliments will be wasted. Oh, boy. Don't waste your breath on fools, for they despise the wise advice.
Yeah. So when you get down here and you start to look at it from the New Living Testament, kind of a more understanding, mm-hmm. and now it makes sense, you know, when you're talking about, eat thou not the bread of that has evil eyes, neither desire thou thy dainty meals. There's a process that goes along with that. So the reality is, what is this all about? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're thinking that way, you have a problem in your heart. You have, and I'll talk about that a little later as we go along. You have a problem in your heart. See, so you thinketh in your heart, you are. That's what it's all about. If you take and go through that process and you start to see everything that I've talked about, and again, this is all about how to break people's understanding down. A lot of people are sitting here thinking, oh, I'm terrible. I used to think I'm terrible. I used to think I needed to go to a psychic so I could figure out what the heck happened to me, what my problem is. That was before I knew what the psychics did. But I was thinking that way. I thought I was miserable. I thought I'd never make anything of myself. Everything I did fell apart. It was rotten, cruel. I mean, it's unbelievable. I had a lot of problems, couldn't remember anything. Had a lot of issues going through. And my thinking stunk. Thinking stinking, according to what the pastor's always talked about. And she calls it the thinking stinking. But your thinking stinking will stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Your stinking thinking will keep you bondage. Your thinking stinking won't allow you to do everything that's going on. You might, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. You just don't understand who you are in Christ. I don't have the ability. Yes, you do. You just don't know how you got it in Christ. See, that's the whole thing. This is a process of changing your attitude and your understanding and coming in to see what God has for you. You know, when you're seeing about that, what we're talking about with Jesus, and he gets his full reward, you know, his reward is seeing you set free being blessed, being healthy, being wise, and achieving all that he had given you. That's also what his reward is. To see you healthy, to see you walking in finances, to see you helping other people grow and prosper, to be his hand and feet, to speak the love of God unto others. That's his reward. That's part of his reward. We might not think about that. Oh, we just want to get people to heaven. No, there's more than that. He wants you to abide and have fun and enjoy yourself on this earth. That's what this is about. So I just want to let you know, just always remember, when you start thinking about something in you, I'm not worthy, I can't do this, this shouldn't happen, go back and see if it lines up with the Word. Are you supposed to have that? Is that what God wants you to think? Is that how you're supposed to think? Because in that one book, I'll say one thing. It says, if your thinking is wrong, your confession will be wrong. Now, there's different times of confession. It's like when you confess your life towards Jesus Christ, that you believe in your mouth and you confess with your heart, you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that you confess that he is Lord. That's a confession. That's a good confession. That's not that you probably won't have a bad one that way. But your confession is, you know, God says he'll meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. But your confession is, yeah, but I must be doing something wrong because he's not doing it. That's a confession. That confession, because of your thinking, is causing that not to happen. If you want to get down there and you can get into real deep discussions on that one. But that's what's happening. Your discussion, because your thinking is stopping your discussion to be what's happening. And I mean, it's really something that you need to understand. And it comes from all those words that were spoken over you. Just think about from the very first time your children, as parents, what were they saying over you? What were your siblings talking about you? We've even had on the Plumb Line series, they said there was teachers that have actually destroyed people because they didn't like it. We had Sarah was in a class, and she hated Christians. Yeah, the teacher, and she came against her. She wanted her to come in on a Wednesday night, which we had church night, and get some work done so she couldn't go to church. And we had to go through the board and start walking to people in charge. Because that's what happens through the year. The enemy knows who you are, what it's going to take to destroy you, and he's been planting people in your place all your life to tell you exactly what you need to think, how you need to talk, how you need to feel, how you need to have happen, all that stuff. And then the thing is, we have to get to that place of understanding. We're not coming against the person. We're coming against the spirit behind the person. That spirit behind that person is one that the devil's using to give it to you. The person isn't. He's just a vessel of the devil. Vessel of the enemy. And that, so when you start to see they're a victim of the devil and he's trying to make you a victim, don't be the victim. It's like the guy we've talked about before. He was in New York City and he was driving along and all these cabs were honking at the guy that was, the cab driver that was driving. He says, how do you deal with all that? I'd go crazy every day in this heart, in your cab, and people are honking and going crazy and trying to run over you and run into you and all kinds of stuff. He says, I just have to look at them like dump trucks. They just take all their junk and try to dump it on me, but I refuse to accept it. So when you start to see it, you quit allowing them to say what they're saying against you. You quit allowing those words that came from the past. We were praying, ministering to a lady one time, and she says, she was talking about her mom and the evil words that she was spoken over. And she says, I can still hear them today. She says, they still ring in my ears. I says, tell them to go to hell. Get rid of them. They don't belong to you. They're a demon still standing there reminding you of what you were told. Makes her think the way she was. She got set free. She released it. She got rid of it. People are still sitting there in this position in church today, feeling those emotions because of that demons are still running through those thoughts in your mind. That's not what God wants. That's not what we need to have. We need to break it and destroy it and get rid of it and realize, no, we're not going to be that way. There's ways to do that. But these are all yokes. Yokes are every teaching, every word, action, and deed that was put over you. Every word, action, and deed becomes a yoke, and it puts around your neck. When you come into a place that people do not want to receive the Holy Spirit, more than likely they've been in a church that said there was no Holy Spirit. So they taught you a lie, and you bought a lie, and that enemy has put that yoke on your neck, and you are now not going to allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life because of it. And the only way you can do that, there's only one way. And that's in Isaiah 10:27. You want to read that there?
And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off the shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Okay. So when did the anointing come? When did it come? You have to think about that. It says, it shall come to pass in that day. It didn't say then. It didn't say when. It said that day. That his burden shall be taken away from off his shoulders. How many people are walking around heavy feeling? A lot of burdens you're hanging on to. A lot of situations the enemy throws back on you. The reason they do that in the way you get heavy because of what's going on, and there's no hope, and there's no joy, and you start to get crazy, and you start to get mad, and you start to go upset, is because you haven't got rid of your yokes. The yokes are still there. They got to go. Got to go. Plain and simple. You don't want to get rid of them? You don't have to. Devil loves having them on you. You think you're doing great? Get rid of them. Then you'll be doing great. You'll be doing better. And you have to learn a little more, and you'll start changing and start to change those. Look, why does it talk about that? And that's what I said before. And I was listening. The only reason I keep repeating some of these things because I was listening to one guy and just another guy lately. He said that he'd gone to this one place 9 different times. This other guy went there about the same time. And every time he went, he taught the exact same thing. This other guy taught the exact same thing, but not the exact thing, but he taught on the same thing he taught the other times. And he says, why am I going to do that? Because he pulled out all of his notes, and he's going to say, I'm going to pull up something new, because I want to give something new there. And the Lord said, teach on this. Well, I've taught on that. So he went back and taught on it again. And the last time they were on both places, a guy came up and says, I finally got it. I finally got it. I finally got it. Why? It took that long. And it comes down to where you're watering. You plant a word. When you first hear something, that's a seed being planted in you. And then all of a sudden somebody comes by and starts to speak about the same thing. You're watering that seed. And then the harvest is when God comes in and gets the increase. And that's simple, but it's so true. Many people have never gotten increase yet because they've never really had the seed watered enough to receive it to get revelation. Talked about revelation before too. But with Jesus, I said that one video I'd seen in the Old Testament, they used to have the rabbis go out and they'd get young men and they would bring them in. And their teaching became their yoke. Out of the whole video, that's all I got out of it. Their teaching became their yoke. Very powerful understanding. Why? Because whatever you've been taught has been your yoke. And he says what happened was when the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, when that happened, when Jesus came back, actually the anointing came back when the Holy Spirit came down. When the Holy Spirit came down, that anointing hit. The anointing broke the yoke, the yokes that people have been under. That's what you need. You need anointing. Many, many years ago, I said one thing. I cannot do anything if I'm not anointed. I start seeking the anointing. I didn't seek wisdom. I sought the anointing. The anointing gave me the wisdom. The power of the Holy Spirit gave me the ability to go to do the things that need to be happening. What needs to be happening? Yokes need to be broken off of people. Understandings of their past has to be taken off. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have all this great, magnificent theology and everything else because I'm such a studier and I know the Bible inside and out, backwards, upside down. If I did that, I probably wouldn't be anointed. Because I couldn't walk in the anointing because I'm looking for wisdom, I mean knowledge instead of wisdom. The anointing is wisdom. And that's what happens. Everything you do, you need to get your anointing. Each one of you have an anointing. It's different than my anointing. But that anointing will break yokes. You can break yokes that I can't break. Because your anointing's different. If you're not walking in your anointing, that's the problem. Most people get under somebody and they start following them and they start walking in their anointing. And I tell you, from down there, Thurman's, he said many times, people down there, they were praying on the phone and people were getting healed left and right after they talked to them. Things were going on. It was amazing. And they left the ministry and they went out in the field and they couldn't get one person saved or healed after that. Well, what happened? They were walking in Thurman's anointing. They were under his headship. Because of that anointing they were under, it fell on them, and they were doing that. I had that happen another time. I was down in Fairfield, Iowa, and there was a revival going on. And they invited us up the very last day to pray for some people. I started praying for people, and there were people falling. And whenever you pray, they just fall over. You know, I've had that before. I didn't want it. I didn't really care for it. If it happens, it happens. I'm not going to force or push it or do anything else because some people really like to get into it, and I don't want to get into it. If it's God, it's God. If it's not, it's not. And that's the way it's going to be. That's why I stay in that anointing. And through that process, we came back here. It was another church. I was in a prayer line. First time I prayed for somebody in this church, boom, right after. Why? I'm thinking, whoa, what happened? Then the assistant pastor came to me and said, would you please go? And, you know, the head pastor wants to tell you, would you please, we don't mind you doing this, just go to the far side so when the people are laying there, it doesn't disturb the church service as they go on since they get past that. I said, okay, but they still got slain over there for about a month and a half, 2 months, somewhere in there. Then all of a sudden, I prayed and nobody fell. Why? Because it wasn't my anointing. It was their anointing. The anointing jumped on me, and I came out and started to do that. You have an anointing. I learned back then, I have to walk in my anointing. If I'm around somebody, I might pick up something, and it might last for a little bit, but it'll just deteriorate because it's not mine. You have to seek God. You have to learn from God. You have to come down to that place. You have to get it. It is the most important thing when you do ministry that you are anointed and you walk in your anointing so God can do what he wants to do for the people that you've got to minister to. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. If God had placed, and this is another thing, it's just some wisdom. I don't know if you've understood it or not. It took me a while to figure this one out, but Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. If God had placed the attributes of Christ in Joseph, like it talks about in Joshua, what about what Joshua? What is that talking about? Joshua 1:5, I say that a lot. And if you don't understand this principle and talking with people, you might not be able to get people to understand. But in Joshua, it says that God knew you before, Joshua before he was born. He formed him in the womb. Well, how did he form him in the womb when the science says that it's the strongest sperm fertilizes the egg? Well, God made the strongest sperm to fertilize that egg to bring you or whoever. Because God knew every single person. It's just not a mistake. That's the whole thing. And if you tell people you're not a mistake, that's how you tell them they're not a mistake. Because God formed you in the womb. You were created by God. He needed you wanted you. He showed you. He wanted. He's given you all your attributes. So at that point, he then anointed them. Every person that has been born is anointed. The Bible says, don't come against my anointed. I know it's actually talking about prophets, but the fact is, if you're anointed and I come against you, what am I doing? Come against the anointing. And the Bible says, don't come against the anointed. We're coming against things that's happening that we shouldn't be coming against, because why? We don't quite understand what's going on. So I just want you to understand that. So what happened was, because Jesus was born without sin by being conceived by the Holy Spirit, if he had been conceived by Joseph, he would have had sin, because man had a sin nature. That's why it was a virgin birth. People have argued for many times. Mary was not a virgin. You can't have a child through a virgin. But, I mean, it's been down there. You'll fight that. You'll see what's going on. But the reason there's a purpose for that, and you find out the purpose, is because if it came from a man, he would have sin in him. If he had sin in him, what would happen when he went to hell? He wouldn't have left. Jesus could not have left if he had sin in him, if he was conceived by a man's seed. That's why it had to be a virgin birth. The Holy Spirit, he had no sin. Even though he was born of, and that's the other one that came up, Son of Man, Son of God. I'm thinking, how do you get Son of Man, Son of God? Well, he's born of the Son of Man because of the woman, physical aspect. But the physical was the Son of God, which was through the Holy Spirit, conception. So through that process, you start to look at that and start to see some. So people might ask you some of those questions. You might need to know what's going on. So I took it and I said, wow, that's quite interesting on what's happening there. But if Jesus had sin in him, he could not have left hell. This allows us to be completely without sin, as Jesus was destroyed the works of the devil when he died on the cross. And on Romans 3:23, can you get that one? You said you might be able to find that one. Sarah's got it somewhere, but we're stretching Pat, and he's doing an awesome job. He learned yesterday about how to put the scriptures up. So we just praise God for what he's doing. And I know this one here is one that she always throws in there, but it's different. It's got to be a New Living Testament. The what? And I put that down, but I don't know if that's 1969. It's one of the other versions that we've had. So, but that's what's happening. But what that one was is, and I'll just, if you can't find it, that's fine. What it was when I've always talked about, is I love it because it talks about we all fall short of the glory of God. All fall short of the glory of God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, God calls you not guilty. You have to realize it's so important. It says he calls you not guilty. And people say, oh, I'm guilty. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I shouldn't be able to get that because I'm guilty. God, I'm not worthy. It's so important to know those things. It's so much, you know, going on in our lives that every time you start to hear or see things, well, I shouldn't have this. I shouldn't have it. I did that a long time ago. Boy, I was really prideful when we first had to go get, was it food stamps? No, I came from a very proud Dutch family. You don't have food stamps. But when you have no food, you have no job, and you aren't living around your family, then you have to do something, and that was the only thing we had. A whole month had no pay. God paid the rent, our food, everything. Everything was paid off. But I had to humble myself. I learned humble pie at that time. And when I finally learned it, I said, oh, you know, it is there for a reason. And God used it to teach me how to humble myself so he can bless me. God wants to bless you guys, but sometimes you guys aren't wanting to be blessed. You're hindering the blessing that God wants to throw. I know I did. I was very strong in doing that. But he taught me, and I had to change, and we went that way. Sometimes you run across somebody, and they'll give you something for what you want to do, and you'll say no. He says, don't ruin my blessing. Because the blessing is when you bless somebody, God's going to bless you back. And if you can't bless them, how are you going to get your blessings? You're going to get your blessings stolen. Right. So I had to learn that. That was a hard deal. That was not an easy thing to learn. So we've done that, and then God's blessed us, and we're doing much better. Praise the Lord. I was in the hospital still, and I've kind of hit this and alluded to it. Oh, the other part of that of Romans was it said that because of the punishment that Christ did, he says, God's not angry anymore. Not angry. If you do not realize God is not angry, and you feel God's angry at you, you don't know the truth. You have a yoke on your neck that is still holding you from receiving the fullness that God has for you. Or you run across somebody that has that. The guilt and shame. Oh, guilt and shame's horrible because they never forgiven themselves over situations in their lives. If I've done this, if I've done that, this ain't going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, the problem is, it's because they've never forgiven themselves. And guilt and shame will hang on to that unforgiveness of yourself. And before long, you'll say, oh, man, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that, but I can't. Well, that's just that yoke holding you bondage. Need to get rid of the yoke and go from there. But I ran across in the hospital, and this is a thing that really, and I've talked a little bit about it, and I've tried to get to it, and it just didn't seem like it was ever coming out. But this is what it was. It was talking about Kenneth Hagin's book, Redeemed. And he's done a lot of it, talking about redemption. I believe it's the missing revelation that I need to get a full, completeness in my life. And I'll explain why. In that motel room late at night, I had my headsets on, hospital room, and I was listening on my phone, and they had a section on there. It was talking about how faith will deliver you, heal you, give you finances, and I'm thinking, what? It just looked different, so I went in and I started to listen to it. It's just faith. And I'm thinking, I know about faith. That's no problem. We don't hear about faith all the time. But he went down and he started talking more about redemption than being redeemed than it was about faith. And I'm thinking, what is this? And this did not make quite a lot of sense at first, but I listened and I listened and I listened. And this is one thing that he says. He says, you must, faith comes by hearing, and 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 hearing. He said he had a lady that they ran across, him and his wife at a church, and he found out what happened was she came up, she says, you know, this is the first time I've had a pair of shoes on. I think I maybe said that from when I've been back in her life. Because she was born with bad feet, deformed feet. She's going to put shoes on. And somebody had given her a package of faith books or information from Kenneth Hagin. And she said, because I couldn't go anywhere because of my feet, I just sat there and I listened over and over and over and over and over and over and over until finally, one day, my feet were perfect. Whew! Nobody prayed for her. Didn't even know what was going on. She's got that video and started praying. She started over, listening over and over and over. And she says, and a year later, my little toe, which I don't have, grew back. Her faith raised above all everything else. It was her faith. From hearing over and over and over and over and over. Now, I've heard Jeff says that. He'll take some of my tapes and go listen to it over and over and over. And he's starting to pick up things out that maybe you might, some people might have missed. I said, wow, that's awesome. That's quite unique. You know, because when the word of the Lord comes forth and it's empowered, you have to hear over and over and over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, boom. That's what I was doing with this on this redemption, because I've been hearing to it over and over and over and over, because I'm hungry. I want to know all about it that I can know. I want to find out what is he talking about, because I have not in my life had anybody teach or hear talk about redemption. We are redeemed by the curse of the law. I heard that. I know that. I know redeeming is restoring. He's restored us back. I've been through understanding about, you know, what Jesus did on the cross. I've taught about it. Most people don't even realize that when he took the stripes on his back, he broke every 39 basic viruses. I've talked about that. A lot of people don't know that. They don't understand he bled seven different times for us, our iniquities. And then he turned and when he went to hell, he went down and he paid a price. When I heard about that love walk, and he was saying that Jesus was in the paying for our price, where he had a skeleton form with a gray mask, and it was, you know, there were worms, 6-inch worms going in out of his body. He was screaming, help me, help me, help me. 3 days he paid that price. He could not have come back from hell if he had sin in his life. That's why virgin birth was so important, so that he could come back, because the Holy Spirit went down and pulled him back out. And what did he do? He took the keys of hell and the grave. Now, are we joint heirs with Jesus? Who has joint heirhood to your key, you know, the keys to the death and the grave over you? If you look at that from that understanding, you have a legal right to your death. I'm not saying that you can live 500 years and say, I'm going to live 500 years, unless God gives you that. But the fact is, you can declare the day you're going to die, or the year you're going to die, or how many years you can live before you die. Why? Because you're joint heirs with him. And your mouth is the way. Well, I can't live much longer. Well, all of a sudden, boom. Why? Because you come back to your thinking. Why you feel that way? Because you're thinking that way. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to take I'm going to make it past 40 years old, because my mom didn't make it past 40. My father didn't make it past 40. So I can't make it past 40. They died about 40. They already spoke it out. They already think it. There's a yoke. They just told it. And then they had an ability to go that way. I heard a person one time talk about, they were on WHO, and they were talking about doing all kinds of things of using God's principle about speaking, or tithing in this case, because they were doing hoarding. You know, they were working with people who were hoarding. They said, you have to take 10% of everything you earn and give it to a charity. I says, what are they doing? A worldly organization saying you got to take 10% and give it to a charity? They're doing godly principles. I had a man It was on winning the lottery. I knew it. I said when I was a young kid, I said, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery. Guess what he did? He won the lottery. Why? He's using God's principle, your mouth. Whatever you say, you will eat of it. Whatever you say, we as Christians said, oh, the devil's going to beat us up. Oh, we're in trouble. Oh, this is falling apart. Oh, I'm tired of this stuff. Oh, 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 oh. And we are damning ourselves to death. And we're good, strong, Holy Spirit believing Christians. Wow. I do it. I'm talking to me. I'm the choir. I don't know about you, but it's hitting me. Fact is, we do it. Why? We're using God's principle to destroy ourselves because of what's happening. I'm thinking, wow, it's horrible. But Galatians 3, 13 through 14, if you'd read that, dear.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yep. Has anybody ever heard anything about teaching on redemption? I'm just asking. Has anybody ever heard anything about teaching on redemption? We know about redemption. You have?
I taught it.
Oh, you taught it. Okay. We'll have to go back and look at that one. Remind me. We'll have to do that one again. Sorry about that, Steve. Yeah. We probably here. We just wasn't thinking much about it. See, we're so not thinking about redemption that it's one of those deals. We hear things, but we don't always go that way. So praise God. Thank you, Steve, for doing that. But it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But it says that might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith, but it also, because of Abraham's seed, receive the promise of Abraham. Because we can receive the promise of Abraham. Wow. Jesus destroyed all the curses in Abraham's blessing by transforming. I mean, it's a revelation that I received. And I'm going to have to go through this because this isn't going to work out right now to show you exactly what's happening. Looks like I'm jumping over a little bit more than I shouldn't be doing. Where is this? Don't want to get ahead of myself because if I do, I'm going to shut down some things that are not supposed to happen. I did. Sorry about that. Huh?
You just read Galatians 3. That's the second page.
Right, right. Okay. But that's the wrong page. We'll go back here and see what's going on. What happened, and I got to go in the right order, I'm going to be in trouble. See, that one that we're looking at is talking about going into Ephesians 3, but I don't want Ephesians 3 right now. That's at the end. Okay. What Kenneth Hagin said was this. He went back to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 29. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, and to observe and do all commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, Jesus redeemed us so that now we have a new covenant, which is John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love each other. For this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, this is a very key factor that he talked about. Has anybody ever read Kenneth Hagin's love book that we have over there? Okay, he talks quite a bit about love. It kind of blows him away a little bit about what's happening. We need to maybe have that. But he says, if you stay in this commandment, this is because why? What did Jesus do to redeem us? He died on the cross to redeem us from the curse of the law. And this is what he was hitting. And I'm thinking, wow, this is huge if you can really get it, because this, you have to hear and hear and hear. And if you want to go to it, go on to YouTube and get a hold of Kenneth Hagin. It's called Redemption, to be redeemed from the curse of poverty, curse of disease, and the curse of self, physical death. Redemption from disease, redemption from poverty, and redemption from spiritual death. And this is exactly what he said, which was amazing. Like I said, you have to go through and you have to really get a revelation, because if you don't have a revelation, it won't make sense to you. I know, it took me, since I've been laid up in the hospital, to finally get the revelation of what's going on. I'll give you the revelation of it, because that was on that other paper that I jumped ahead. I don't know why it printed out that way. It shouldn't have, but it did. And he said, if you stay in love, if you follow the commandments that Christ gave us through the redemptive power that he had on the cross, because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is all about love, but the love wasn't there. The Holy Spirit was gone. It was all about works. It was all about works. It's all about, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It was all about the law. Sacrifice, yeah. So what happens, he said, he came down this way, and he says, if you walk in the new commandment, which is love, in the redemptive part of it, it says, all these things shall come on you and take over thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Blessed thou shalt be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. So are you going to be blessed in the city? Are you going to be blessed in the field? You have to start to look at these and start to see these and start to realize, if I walk in love and love one another, because it says up there that ye shall, I give unto you, if ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. What is the world missing? Love. What is the first thing in the nature of God? Love, joy, peace, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness in that position is his act or character. Character is fruits of the Spirit. Very first thing is love. It's all about love. I taught about it while back. I said when they were talking about being in heaven, not that one vision. He says when you walk in love with humility, you'll be at the front with God, with Jesus, when you die. Because that's what he's looking for, people to walk in love and humility. Love and humility. He says that's why Jesus, had the garment that he had when he was here. He was walking in love and humility. The same thing that Jesus walked in, if we can walk in the same way, why? It's his nature. It's his nature. That's what Jesus redeemed us back to, his nature. You have to realize this. It is all about his nature. That's why I said it's the part that I've been missing. I've been talking about this, but I didn't give the full revelation until I seen, wow, this is a completeness of what's happening. I about fell over when I'm seeing. I'm still learning on it, so I'm just putting out what I was kind of hitting because it hit me when I was putting this all together. I was struggling to get it there, and all of a sudden I hit that one spot. It's like, wow, that's it. That was the revelation. I'll bring that up in a little bit. But he says, blessed art thou in the city. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and blessed the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of the kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. You know, the fruit of your body is your children. The fruit of the ground is everything that you produce and what you make. The fruit of the cattle. I mean, there's people out there that have talked about the guy that was a dairy farmer, and he had the magazines coming up, and the dairy placers were trying to figure out what's going on. He was having twins. He don't have twins. They have twins, but very seldom. And when they do, you know, you always have to separate the calves from the cows because there's a special disease that gets in them and causes them a problem. He didn't. And they said, how are you doing this? How are you having twins? He was having a bunch of twins. The milk was increasing. It was, they were just blown away right there. He says, I'd tell them, but they wouldn't believe me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because the blessing of God is upon me. Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb through Jesus Christ. I am being blessed. Every one of these blessings should be so strong on your life. And we need to pray and realize and get a revelation so we start speaking this into existence. If you aren't right now, speak it into resistance. Just if you say, if you want to get mad, that man that wanted the lottery, he used God's principle and he had the lottery when I could have had the lottery. Now, you don't want to get too wild in that because that's money, because that's the root of all evil. You want to be careful. Well, I want to use that money to go out and serve God. I want to get some people healed, saved, delivered, and really get people into the kingdom of God. That's a little bit different, but that's not the purpose of winning a lottery. But the fact is, he's using God's principle, and it's working, and I'm not, and it's not working. Well, why isn't it? Because you're not using it. You're not using the principle of God. Whoa. He says, and then he says, blessed are I their basket and in their store. You know, realize, what does it say about tithing? And you know, he says, you give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together. Whoo! Blessed shall be thy basket. How much more can you shake it down and put in your basket to receive back what you give out? Woo, doggies. I mean, God is wanting to do some things here. He wants to change some situations. It says, in thy store, anybody has a business or trying to do something. You know, there again, he just increase and make things happen for you. See, that's what it's about. Could be, yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So, where's that other one? Okay, blessed. Shall there be, when thou cometh in, and blessed when they go out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against you to be smitten. Before thy face thou shalt come out against thee one way and flee seven ways. What does Psalm say? I think it's 91. He says, destruction will come around you, but it won't touch you. Whoa. That's what this is talking about. That's blessings. This is a blessing. This is what you're supposed to get. That's what your redemption from Christ when he died on the cross gave us, this blessing. We might not be walking it. We need to learn so we can get revelation to walk in that. Think about that. And the Lord shall consume thy blessing upon thee in the storehouse and all those which sitteth at thy hands unto, and they shall bless thee in the land which the Lord has, God has given thee. Now, Kenneth Hagin said this, Lord, I don't have it. And when he got the revelation of this, he says, I don't have a storehouse. God said, start one. He says, oh. So he had some money, and he took and he went and he got some bonds or something, whatever he was doing. And he says, within a period of time. Then, you know, they would trade the bonds or whatever he was doing, stocks, whatever it was. And he said he had over $500,000. He says they would trade some more. Came up to him. God has to have something for him to bless. How can he bless if you have no storehouse? Woo, doggies. That should get some people happy. You want to increase? Now get a storehouse. It don't take $2,000. Don't take $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. It can take $100. Put it out and start to do something that, you know, pray and ask God what he wants to do, what would you do it. Ask some people. We got Pat back here, some other people that know about stocks, bonds, and that type of stuff. If you're interested in that, you know, just to see what's going on. And then get some help and find out exactly where to go. But he said, because of the storehouse. This is what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. He says, if you do all that, he'll bless you. And the Lord shall establish thee on a holy people unto himself, and he has sworn unto thee, if thou hast kept the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way. And all people of the earth shall see what thou have called by the name of the Lord, and shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make the plenteous and goods and fruits of thy body, and in the fruits of the cattle, and the fruits of the ground, and the land which the Lord swore unto the father to give thee. The Lord will open up unto thee good treasures, the heavens to give the rain in the unto the land in the season, to bless all the work of thy hands, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. Now it was amazing when it said that about, you know, rain, because Marsha Ruffer, a friend of ours up there in Woodward, she was saying, Father, it's pretty dry and we need some rain. You know, when are you going to have it rain? He said, when you want it. She said, what? Well, I need it now. That night it rained on her land. But she went to the neighbors, and the neighbors said, I don't know what happened, but there was a rain that came down all over your land, but it never touched ours. Blessings. See, we don't believe this. We don't believe what God wants us to do. We don't believe his word will bless us when we need to be blessed. We kind of back down and just say, oh, we'll just get by with what we're going to get by. We don't have to do this, you know. And when God loves me, he knows that he wants to. No, he's given us the ability to be blessed. We need to have that revelation, understanding, to be able to go and do that way. And it shall not go aside from any of the words which I command thee, saith this day, to the right hand or the left, to go into other gods to serve them. So when it came down to that, he got to the point where it came to, it said, and if you don't walk in love, if you don't walk in love, if you don't walk in the new commandments, if you don't, he says, then the curses will come. And he was talking about the curses on those. And it said, you know, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, that God has observed to do all the commandments. What is the commandments? To love one another. The new commandment, not the old, the new, because we are now redeemed. Redeemed gives us the new, not the old. No, the blessings are still there. The cursings are still there. If you don't do, and then this, the cursing comes, if you don't do the commandments, which I command you this day, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And he went down there for a little bit, and he says, cursed shall be in the city, and cursed shall there be in the field. Cursed shall there baskets in thy store. Cursed shall the fruits of your body, the fruits of thy land, and the increase of the kine, the flocks of the sheep. Cursed thou shalt be with thee when it cometh in, and cursed shall it be when it goeth out. The Lord shall send upon thee curses, vexations, and rebuke, and all these setting thine hand upon thee to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because the wickedness of your doing, whereby you have forgotten me. I mean, it goes down there. It even goes, and I guess down to 22, it says, and God will smite thee with consumption, with a fever, and with all the inflammation, and with all extreme burning, with a sword, and with a blasting and with mildew, and they will pursue thee until thou perish. How much problem do we have with inflammation today? Whoops! We should have no inflammation. That's a tough thing to believe, no inflammation. But that's not in the blessing. That's in the cursing. That's something I've always thought about when I read that the first time. I thought, whoa, we got a problem there. And it's talked about the fevers and with consumption. And you go down through, there's quite a little bit of things that it talks about. He says, but what happens is, when we were redeemed, now let's see if I can find those. If you go down on farther in the cursing, let me find out where I'm supposed to be at, because these sheets aren't, I've even got them marked and they still went bad. I don't know what I did, but I did something. Let's see, here we are. Okay, on 58, 59, and 60, 61. And it says, if thou will not observe to do all the words of this law that you have written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glory and the fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make these plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and long continuation, and sore sickness, and long continence. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou hast wasted away, and thou shalt cleave unto thee. Whew! That's not good. If you don't want to love people, look what you got to live up to. What you got coming your way. That's the law. That's this fact right there. You can read that again. You want to read that again, 59 through 60 there? Or 58 through 60?
If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou hast afraid of you, was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee.
Yep.
And every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed.
Okay. Now, this is the blessing part. This is going to be a good part. That's the bad part. But it says in there, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, which will be the Lord shall bring upon thee until they should be destroyed. It says, so all these curses are in the book of the law. What did Jesus do on the cross? He destroyed the law. If you can get that revelation, he destroyed the law. Isn't that what it said when he died on the cross?
We are redeemed from the curse.
Redeemed it. So he redeemed us. He destroyed it. He removed us. He destroyed it. He removed us. He redeemed us. So that law has no more authority over us. Huh? He also fulfills the law. Yeah, but when you fulfill that law, it'll still be done if you desire to go that way. Does that make sense? But that's what happened was, because when I was reading this and I'm thinking, wow. And he says, this is what he was using. He says, he destroys the law. And he says, is this not are these curses not in the book of the law? Those have been destroyed. So he goes back and he starts to say, if you're walking in love according to the commandments that he gave you, and that's what it said from the very beginning, and what the revelation that I've got when I was sitting there was this. Jesus, when you go into, and like I said, it's going to take a while for people to grab a hold of what's going on and hear what's going on, because it took me quite a while of sitting there and going through this and over and over and over and hearing and hearing and hearing until finally I even got close to a revelation of what was happening. But what actually happened was the Lord showed me that redemption removed everything. In other words, it took us back to a place before the sin of Adam. Before Adam's sin, we made us in a position before that. So from there, the law, everything is done, was for those that were there, and those who want to live that way can still live that way, and they'll still receive what they've got. But we come down, and he made us completely, or he redeemed us to a place that we do not have to put up with that or work with that. We have to understand exactly what's going on. When I seen that, one night I was sitting there listening to this, and all of a sudden there was a hole in a wall. It's just a hole in a wall. And I didn't understand it. And next thing I know, I see myself going through that hole. And when I was on the other side in redemption, I was healed. I was healed. What happened to the lady that was laying there with her foot? She got a revelation. She's been fully redeemed. All the curses that came upon her body that caused her foot to be bad, boom, God put it right back in. Blessing. The toe came back on. Blessing. The lady that had stage 4 cancer that was listening to this tape, just listen over and over and over and over, got a revelation of what this means to be reformed, to restored, bring a body in there. And when that happened, cancer disappeared. When you're restored, all the curses are gone. The curses of the law have been removed, destroyed. There's a wall God set right here. If you get a revelation of it, you might think of this, no, this isn't right, this won't work. That's fine. I'm not saying, and if you got any issues or questions as you go along, we'll work with that. But I know for a fact when I was doing this, as soon as I seen that, because there was a prophecy that was given, and it said that I'm going to be walking, that I'm going to be fully healed. And people are going to be amazed at what's happening. And there's going to be something here that we have that people are going to come from all over the world to see. And I says, Lord, I don't understand this. It don't make sense. Even though that's what he told me a long time ago. I had that vision, having the building between Des Moines and Ames. And had people coming from all over the world to see what was going on, to be trained up to go back. And I can see, if you see the whole plan. Now, do this real fast. That's that other one that we're going back into there. Would you go back to Ephesians 1, 3, 20, 12? Yeah, 3 through 12. Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. This is what the Lord told me to put out to people. I've got to set something up and hand it out. Get it into the people's hands, because this is what he wants you to know. This is a completion to exactly what he had told me many years ago. And then it had been several years ago. He said, I want you to put this out. He says, I want to tell you to have tell my people I had a perfect plan for them. I had a perfect parents for them. I had a perfect life. I had perfect siblings for them. I had a perfect job for them. I have a plan, a purpose, and their life would have been perfect. I designed it from the beginning. Everything was perfect until sin entered in. Redemption is removing the sin. So now you can come back in and start to receive that perfect plan. when you start to realize that that redemption stops that sin from coming against you, and you can walk in a different way. You can go without disease. You can go without poverty. You can go without any spiritual death. You can start to do these things. It is a completion of what the Lord wants to do. I've seen that so clear. It's just like the Lord said, I took the time before Adam sinned, and I brought it over here, and I put this, and I'm letting you go from that point on. There is so much that the Lord wants to do and change people's lives and bring them into place. I know if you don't have the revelation, if you don't understand, I understand there's no excitement and questioning of it's really true or not. And I don't blame you. I would too. Keep studying. If you're really serious, find out. But I guarantee you what, it is great, and it's going to start coming, and God's glory is going to fall, and things are going to start to come through, things we've been wanting. We've had some people say, why aren't we getting people healed? Why aren't they coming in? God's preparing us for this time so that it will come in, and it will be a glorious. And people will be satisfied, and situations will start to happen because he's saying it's a complete picture. Now go ahead and read that, dear.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Okay, now what's up? Does it say any curses? Does it say anything about curses?
No.
What does it say again? Okay, read that one more time.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Now, Deuteronomy 28, where's the spiritual blessings at? In the first part. If you're doing my will. Is it doing the last part where the curses are if you're not doing my will? No, it's removed that. That's what he's saying right there. Okay, go ahead.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us. Ooh, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Oh, ho, ho, ho! That word love, it keeps popping up here. Woohoo! Love. What does it say? Holy and without blame before him in love. If you aren't in love, are you holy and without blame? Ooh, go ahead.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom, prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
Think about that. It said in there in 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's all in there. When I read that, it's like reading a whole outline of the whole picture. And I cannot get past it. God took a time right before Adam sinned, and he's moved it to this place. And when Jesus died on the cross, he made that redemption wall. And if we come in behind and are receiving the redemption and walking in love, I'll tell you, I cannot even begin to think of what God's going to do. You've seen revivals? This ain't no revival. This is a full-out blown love of God fest that's coming. A love of God fest. Not about a revival. Not about people coming in and just turn around and getting turned on for God, and then down the road the devil wears them out, and then before long they turn away from God, don't make it to heaven. This is a time where they're going to come and they're going to fall in love. That's what he said. Kenneth said, the pastor called him and says, what happened? I don't understand it. When you get these people saved, they stay saved. They don't vary. They don't leave. He said, because I tell them they need a redeemer. They're the redeemer's lives. If you stay within the redemption of what we have, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Your finances will be blessed. You know, you won't be sick, and you'll be walking through this process. I am still sick. I am still walking in the process of becoming so redeemed. My sickness doesn't have a chance. It's going, because I'm going to be a blessed person in God without sickness, without disease, and I'm going to be blessed. And that's what God is saying. That's what I was laying in there in the hospital and seeking God, and that's what he wants. He wants his people so redeemed in him through the love that he receives the blessing, every spiritual blessing. He wants to pour it out on people, but he can't pour it out on the people because they'll misuse it, destroy it, and go down the road. He wants to prepare them, bring them in that place, and get them to where they will receive it, hold it, and go give it to others to make it grow and prosper. So praise the Lord. That's all I got to say. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I give you glory. I know this is far out there. I know I sit here and I'm thinking, Father, they ain't going to understand this at all. And if they do, I pray they do. But if they don't, they're going to have to study, and they're going to listen, and they're going to have to hear, and they're going to have to hear, and they're going to have to get serious if they want to change. If they don't, they won't. And that's up to you, Father. Because I know what you want, and I know what you're going to do, and I know what you've given us the vision for. And there are people waiting to come and to do certain things. So, Father, help us, guide and direct us and change us. Get my body back up in shape so I can get back in and do what I'm called to do. And each person has a place. I can't do it myself. I can't do it without them. So, Father, I pray that you bless them, every physical blessing, everything that's going on in their life. Heal them if there's a sickness. Change them if they've got situations going on in their life. And, Father, let the blessings start to come. Let them see that redemption and how to walk in behind the wall of redemption that holds all sin back, because Jesus is the wall. He stopped all sin. He broke it. He destroyed it. He no longer has to be on it. And we give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.